Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, thinking about the fact that things tend to run down. You can labor diligently and feel as though that you've finally gotten things like you want them, and like a man who goes to bed with the cover too short. He covers up his upper body and his feet stick out, and he cover up his feet and his head pokes out. So, you know, you don't get things exactly right. The covers are too short. He stretches out on the bed, and the bed's too short. Places his feet on his head on the bed, and his head hangs over the edge. Places his head on the bed, and the feet extend over the edge. We're not home yet, and don't be surprised that things just don't fall into place exactly as you would have them to do so. Do be reminded of this. That these things make us to have a greater longing for home, a greater longing for home. We get homesick, and we think about this, that, you know, I thought I had this all worked out. And when you do, it reminds me of the man who is running from the law, and he thinks that he has shaken the dogs off the trail. Finally, he runs and goes through a number of maneuvers, sits down, and he thinks he's rested. He can rest, and he's shaking the dogs, and he doesn't hear them baying in the distance. And just as he's about to catch his breath, he hears the dogs on the trail again, barking, coming again. Has to get up and run. That's the way it is with a Christian now. We think that while we've gotten things under control, we've finally gotten a resting place. In this life, we finally got, it's not going to be like that forever. You know, it's good to have a home to go to in the evening. You labor diligently during the day, having no rest in the day, but praise the Lord for a place to rest on the way. We do not say that this is our eternal resting place. This is a resting place along the way. Here in South Carolina, we have a place called Traveler's Rest. And that means the traveler had a place to rest as he traveled along the trail. Another is called Fountain Inn, and is a place where they would water their horses along the way when the stagecoach route, a place where the horses got water. Well, we find places to get rest and water along the way, but we know we must keep on. We're in a journey. We are pilgrims and strangers in this world. This is not our home. So don't be surprised when you are if you are treated as a foreigner. And if you're misunderstood. I've been in the military and I've been away in other countries and have gone out and tried to find places and tried to talk to the people of the various countries I've been in. And they've not understood a word I've said. And if they had decided to say that we want to accuse you or falsely accuse you of something, I couldn't have defended myself. Of course, the military would have come to the rescue in that regard, hiring the personnel necessary. But I couldn't have spoken because I didn't speak the language. Well, as Christians, now we're in the Lord's army, and we're not home yet. And there will be times when there will be false accusations made. But what are we to do? Are we to say, well, I quit? You can't quit. Anybody in this battle has to fight until the Lord calls us home. We're in this battle for the duration of our lives, not for the duration of the battle. The battle is going to rage and it's going to get worse, but the Lord is going to be with us, and we are not home yet. Now, Father, again, we ask for thy help. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit that I may minister thy word to these who have tuned into the broadcast today. O Lord, hear from heaven and do help. We need thee at this hour. I pray thee to open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of the law of our God. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, now, let's start down with verse 5. We stopped on this verse on the previous program. The scriptures tell us, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now, remember, the devil had said, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You'll make your own choices. And the choices you put in place are going to bring you out. They're going to bring you up. They're going to elevate you. You're going to find yourself really doing well, soaring high. But no, that's not what happened. Man found himself groveling in the dirt. And always that is the case whenever we go from the Lord and we choose our own way, when we have set before us God's way. Now, you can use that, you can apply that in any situation. In the home, if you are a husband, if you choose your way over God's way, you are going to find yourself groveling in the dirt like a worm. If you are a wife and you choose your way over God's way, you will eventually find yourself groveling in the dirt like a worm or like a serpent, because that's what happens. Satan tells you, why, choose this way. And you have pressures and pains and difficulties. And so you feel like, well, I'll just step out of the Lord's will. I'll take this shortcut and things will be all right. No, that's not what happened. Man's wickedness will increase. Your imagination, when you get out, you see, you know how it is when you are trying to see something and there seems to be something in your way, and so you move your head to the left or to the right, and you when you do, you see more things you didn't, and you can, that works two ways. You can see further ahead and then look back. If from that position you can see further behind you. Well, when you get out of God's will, you see more ways to sin. Say that again now. When you get out of God's will and you start looking around and you think that you had only one way, and so you do one wrong thing to get out of God's will, when you get out of God's will, the temptation to do more wrong will be there and you'll be tempted to do greater evil and sin. So that's why it is of the utmost importance that we resist the devil, that we deny ourselves, that we die daily unto ourselves, because the very moment you step out of God's will, you'll find yourself in a shopping center of sin and temptation, and it'll be on every hand. You thought that you were shopping in this little one-horse town of a store, and there was only one thing that would, well, when you get out of God's will, he'll take you to the mall where there are stores of temptation all around you. And you better quickly get away from that and get into God's will. The Lord tells us in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6 that God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So you get out of God's will and you start drinking of sin's cup, you'll find more which you can drink. You start browsing down sin's alley, you'll find more temptations placed upon you. Things don't get better when you get moved further from the Lord. It gets darker, and so dirt doesn't show up as much in the night. And that's why it doesn't seem so bad. When you are in sin, that's why your sin doesn't seem so bad, because it is so dark. When you start moving closer to the light, you start seeing, oh, how awful you are and how awful sin is. And you start wondering more and more, how could God love someone like you? That's what happens when you're moving toward the Lord. But when you're going away from the Lord, the attitude changes and you can say, I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as such and such a person. You know why you come up with a conclusion like that? Because you're going away from the Lord. You're facing the dark. You're comparing yourself with the night. You're looking at yourself in the night without the light. And sin in the night without the light doesn't look so bad. But when you are rejecting sin, repenting of sin and facing the Lord, then sin looks bad. And you start wanting to draw nearer to the Lord and sin looks worse. And you move closer to the Lord and sin looks even worse than that. And so you keep thinking, you keep understanding, oh, how awful sin must be. It must be a terrible thing, until the day comes that you are drawing nearer to the Lord and you realize that it is offensive to God. And you can understand a little bit more because your back is to sin and toward the Lord, and your face is toward the Lord. So the Lord says, since this is the condition of man, the scripture says in verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. As I pointed out, that sin grieves the heart of a holy God. He does not delight in us sinning. It is not cute to him to see us sin. I have heard people think it was cute when their little child could say a curse word or a swear word, or when a child throws a temper tantrum. It's not cute. The Lord never looks upon sin and say that it's all right or that it looks good. He never does. He tells us that it is a terrible thing, that it is awful, and it grieves him to his heart. And so in verse 7, the Lord says, and the Lord said, I will... Notice how this happened. I've pointed this out quite often when you're reading the Bible. But notice in verse 6, you have it repented the Lord. Okay, this is the same one. This is the one who had made the covenant. This is God's covenant name. In verse 6, it repented the Lord, uppercase L, uppercase O, uppercase R, and uppercase D. And then in verse 7, and the Lord said, and so Adonai, here he says that I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Now, God is the Lord. There is but one God. One God made all things. But notice how God reveals himself. Adonai, Yahweh, he reveals himself here. He says, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So animals had not sinned. The birds of the air had not sinned, but they were going to suffer just as man did, because sin reaches high and it reaches low. Man on the earth was going to be destroyed. The animals that breathed air would be destroyed. Trying to find high ground until they got, it was such a violent storm. All the animals didn't have time to get away. But some of them and their stampeding masses did run to high ground because they found places where there were great pits of the skeletons of animals gathered together. And even in Alaska, the various things have been found there. On mountains, high mountaintops, there have been the fossils of creatures that were in the sea. How did these fossils get up on those mountains? When the Lord brought destruction upon the earth. So the Lord said, it repenteth me that I have made man, and everything that he's made is going to suffer now because of sin, of disobedience. You don't ever think that sin is a cute little thing, is a something that'll go away. It started off with one set of parents spread around the world to the point that God had to bring judgment upon the entire world because of sin. And it wasn't a matter, and we'll see later on, it wasn't a matter of just starting off with a new family. Sin was ingrained in man. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might understand how awful sin really is, how good thy grace is shed upon us. Help us today to do what is right, we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And do join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson here in Greenville, South Carolina. May the Lord bless.